I mean, I first started getting into property in August 2021, and I never had any intentions to get into real estate, but when I found out you could get in with no money, I thought, this is it.
Do you think you'll ever get a normal job?
No, I just couldn't. I don't understand how I could put 40 hours a week, every single week in a month, and then earn only $2,000 when I've just sold one deal and I've made $3,000.
Being 19, did you find that was a problem?
If I was coming on property courses like a crash course, so many people come up to me and say, you're only 19. I wish I was your age when I started. But then when I go into the real world and I'm trying to speak to landlords and agents, they look at me and think, what would you know about property?
Every single week, it was almost an embarrassment. I was getting embarrassed because after 4 months, you hadn't done a deal. You were getting embarrassed because Everybody else was getting deals and you weren't. And it was a struggle.
I had this expectation. I should be getting a deal now, but I wasn't getting it until you kind of give me a kick, like, you've got 1 month.
Finally here, bro, you made it.
Yes, it's been a long journey.
It has, because we started working together when you were how old?
I was 19 at the time.
19, and now you're 21.
Yes, I read a book written by the leader of our church who is a prophet, and it was about real estate. And I never had any intentions to get into real estate, but when I found out you could get in with no money, I thought I need to research into this further. And that's when I came across your channel, and I attended my first ever crash course in 2021, September.
I remember that, and I remember saying to you, why are you here? When you said you wanted time to focus on mission. You wanted to go into full-time ministry in the church. And I thought, I like this guy. You know, you had a good energy. And but the thing is, it was quite a tough start and you had some challenges, which we'll get to. But what happened at that crash course where you spent one day with me that sort of like started all this? What happened?
At that crash course, it's just like, I just saw endless opportunities, and I think your energy really, really just made me think, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. Because at the same time, I didn't want to go to university anymore either, because I wasn't doing the course I wanted to take in the first place. And then the course I was doing was pharmacy, which I absolutely hated. And I was like, I cannot cope with this for another 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Because what happened was at the end of my first year, I failed one exam that held me back for another year. But however, it gave me the time to look into something else. And of course, that's when I was like, I need to get into property now.
Interesting. I wonder how many teenagers or young adults right now are studying something at uni and they don't even want to go into the profession that they're studying.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends who are still in university and they're always complaining to me, we hate university, it's too many long hours. And I'm there like, you should just get into property.
Yeah, right. And then even when they finish uni, then they've got the job that they don't want. Yeah. And then they've got to climb the corporate ladder, get to the top of the corporate ladder and realise that they're on the wrong ladder.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually remember when I was working a job and somebody had said to me, what do you want to get into? And I was like, I'll do pharmacy for a couple of years, but then I want to get into real estate. At that point, I didn't know much about real estate. And one thing they actually said to me was, quit now. We're wasting your time. Just get into real estate now.
100. And I'd say the same thing. If someone said to me, I'm doing real estate because I want to make a bit of money, but then ultimately I want to be a photographer, I'd be like, well, hang on, don't do property now. Like, you want to start climbing the ladder of the one that you want to get to the top of. And I think the thing is with property as well is it gives you active income, but also passive income. So you've now got time freedom where you're getting very involved in ministry and doing the things that you feel passionate about.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just like, I don't have to waste every single day, 9 till 6 doing work that I don't enjoy. Yeah. In fact, even if I was to spend long hours doing property, I enjoy it so much that it's like, I can continue.
How much have you made in the last few weeks?
In the last few weeks, I've made $5,000.
That's pretty good. Is that a lot more than your friends make it, you know?
they don't make it anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So how are you making money in property? Because when you started, you said that you didn't really have much money at all to invest.
Yeah, I mean, near zero. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
But of course, as I learned the strategies and how to get in, when I got my first rent, I did it as a JV with my dad. So he put the money in and then, of course, we worked together on it, and now I just manage the property, give him half, and I take half the profits. And you know,
that's so perfect, because then you don't put a penny money in. Yep. You used him probably for the references and as a guarantor.
I actually didn't need a guarantor for that one.
How come?
It was direct to landlord, and the landlord, funny enough, with this landlord, he was ready to give it to me until he saw my company was new, and I'd already said, oh, it's a sister company of Samuel Lees Limited. And he said to me, I'll give you a chance, but only because I know Samuel Leeds and he's got a good track record. So I think just because you had that good track record helped me get my first deal over the line.
Amazing.
And he never asked for a guarantor. I had basically 2 months rent-free period. Yeah, so there was also no deposit up front either.
Damn. So what did you need your dad for then? What did he pay for?
It was just a refurb. It needed quite a bit of like cosmetic work doing and stuff like that. And because it's my first property, it's quite daunting.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what I was doing, even though it's like I've been through the training. But when it's a refurb, it's like, okay, what do I actually do?
Yeah.
I need some guidance.
Yeah, you felt like having your dad on when you're refurbing the property just to give you that sort of bit of extra support.
Definitely. And, you know, I needed that help because there was a lot of work. And to be honest, my dad did put quite a lot of work into getting that refurb quickly as possible.
How much did the refurb cost?
Only about $2,000, to be honest. We managed to get it done cheap, but if you had got it done from somewhere else, let's say, you know, got painters in and builders and whatnot, it could have been double.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, because you spent $2,000 on the house, you were able to negotiate with the landlord, look, I'm making your house better.
Yeah.
So you paid no deposit, no upfront rent, you didn't need references or anything like that. He was happy, he knew me.
Yes.
We were working together, that's the power of association. Before going into all the success, because I know now you've got, you know, your rent-to-rent, your deal sourcing, you're making good money, I wanna talk about the struggles and the challenges, because it was, let's face it, every single week, it was almost an embarrassment.
Yes.
Because I was getting embarrassed because after 4 months, you hadn't done a deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is awkward. You're on a 12-month program. You're not getting a deal. You were getting embarrassed probably because everybody else was getting deals and you weren't. And it was a struggle. So talk to me about the struggle.
Yeah. So as I joined the academy and stuff, I thought, this is it. I'm going to be able to do it. But I think there was a lot of elements I lacked myself. I thought I was putting enough work in, but compared to what I do now, it was absolutely nothing. And sometimes you can join the mastermind calls, think you're doing enough, but sometimes you have to take a step back and ask yourself, am I really doing enough?
Mm.
I was very inconsistent with my hours as well, how many hours I was putting in. But then it's like, I had this expectation, I should be getting a deal now, but I wasn't getting it until you kind of give me a kick, like, you've got 1 month. If you don't get a deal, I'm coming to punch you in the throat. And I think I needed a kick. And I think that's just the way I work.
Oh, surely I didn't say anything that extreme.
It was on a Monday mastermind
call.
In front of 150 odd people. And I remember everybody in the comments being like, we're going to remember this. We're going to remember this. Get it written down.
Wow. And I think the thing is as well, listen, I coach everybody different. You'll see this. Sometimes when people are struggling, they need a bit of a cuddle. They need their arm around them. Sometimes people need a clearer plan. And sometimes people just need to be threatened.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're going to be, I'm going to come around your house and punch you in the face, bro. Like, you have to. And it's not, one of the things I sometimes say to people is I'll say, act like if you don't get a deal this month, you will die.
Yeah.
Because the reason people don't get deals, usually, especially when they're on the academy and they've got the environment and the training, the network, is because they're not putting in the hours.
Yeah, for sure.
And like you said, they trick themselves. Because a lot of people, I don't know if you did this, they make 2 or 3 calls and they go a bit bad. And then they're like, oh, but it feels like they did loads of work. But actually, if they look at their call history, they're on the phone for a minute each.
Yeah.
3 minutes work. And then they're like on the mastermind saying, oh, I've called loads of landlords and nobody wants rent to rent in Birmingham. It's like, hang on, you spent 3 minutes on this. And you trick yourself.
Totally.
And then I know after the eviction as well, like the work that people put into that, the tasks, how did that potentially help you?
It really opened my eyes. When I saw the amount of hours we were working on the eviction and I saw the way people work, it was like, this is different.
Yeah.
I was there 12 o'clock ready to sleep and Sherelle's like, no, we've got a lot of work to do. And we're working till 4 or 5 a.m. And I'm like, okay, this is so different to the work ethic I expected. And it was such an eye opener. And it's like, this is how I need to be working. If I did this exact same thing with my business, I'd be getting so far.
Wow. And then very quickly thereafter,
I got my service accommodation right after. That one was in negotiations for a month. So I basically found it straight after the eviction. But then after negotiating for a month and getting things set, I managed to get my service accommodation then.
Amazing.
As well.
Amazing. And that was one with your dad?
This one, I loaned the money.
Oh, because, so this is not the same one you were talking about a minute ago?
So that one was a HMO, which I'd got back in April, but this one I'd got in August, and this is a serviced accommodation. And the thing is, joint ventures are good, but for me, it felt like the income, I just wanted more. So then Ibi, who's actually on the academy, well, was on the academy and is one of the mentors now, he said to me, why don't you just loan the money? He goes, that way you'll be giving less of your profits away as well. And you know, you'll be able to pay back quite quickly because I knew Birmingham is an area that 100% work. And he helped me with the numbers as well. And we was easily looking at low season between 800 to 1.2K. And it's like, you'll be able to pay that back off in about 3-4 months. Why are you going to joint venture?
So effectively, rent to rent is when you rent a property and then you rent it out at a higher amount with all the correct permissions and contracts and legislation in place. On average, you might make £500 to £1,000 a month on a rent to rent. I know you're doing a little bit more than that because you've really cracked it. So that's what a rent to rent is. You can do a rent to HMO, you can do a rent to serviced accommodation. But the thing is, even when you're doing a rent to rent, you still need usually a little bit of money. Furniture.
Yes.
Upfront rent, a deposit, contracts. There's a few thousand pounds generally that you might need to put into the deal. So what you're saying is you can either joint venture with people, you can loan the money. Why don't you talk to me about some of the ways that you can get the money together for a rent-to-rent?
Yeah, so another thing which is something I'm looking into doing as well is find passive investors. There are a lot of people who have money sitting in their bank and they just want it to grow. They don't want to do anything with it. They're not really too concerned. They just want a little bit of returns on their money. So one thing I'm looking to do is give them 8 to 10% of the profits each month, but make them put the money up front. And then after however long, let's say a year, give them their initial amount back. Right. That way I get to keep a lot more and more profits and I can invest in a lot more property deals. Instead of using my own money, yes, I'm making money through deal sourcing, but if I keep putting my own money in, it's going to take a lot longer to scale up than compared to having 100 investors.
And you can also sell a deal and then use the profits to invest in a rent to rent. You've just, I mean, I know you've been pretty successful at deal selling as well. Why don't you talk to me about what deal selling is and how you do that?
Deal selling is simply where you find a deal, a good property deal, you package it up, get all the information together, and then you find an investor who's looking for that deal and then you pass it on to them for a fee. So the way I did it was I actually did it bespoke. So I had an investor in place already. The investor told me, look, I need a rental service accommodation in Birmingham City Centre. I know a lot of people struggle with Birmingham City Centre, but because I've worked so hard over the last few months, I built so many connections and so many people are just ready to give me deals. And then I was like, okay, I will find you a deal. And we had an 8-week time period. And this one's quite interesting because I'd found the deal. We were ready to move really, really quick on it. And then I get a phone on the day saying, oh, we've actually given it to somebody else. After I'd viewed it, packaged it, investor was happy. And they said, oh, somebody else is going to take it. But then I get a phone call a month later whilst I'm driving and they're like, oh, that property, it's just come available again. Are you still interested? I told my investor, he's like, yes, I want it. And within about 3 days, everything done, dusted, money in the bank, sorted.
How much did that deal get you?
£3,000.
£3,000, the magic number. So how's life different now then from, say, a year or so back?
A year or so back, it was like, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, after I failed that one exam and I was told, yes, you're going to have to do it at the end of another year. Everybody's moved up a year and I'm behind. It felt quite daunting. And coming from an Asian background as well, there's this expectation. You have to get a degree. You have to do this. Everything's systemized. Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people from my background, when they came into this country first, they always had a business and that's how they got rich. Yet they'll push their kids into jobs, which I'll never understand. And so going from thinking I've let my parents down, what am I going to do with my life? And now my parents have seen the money that is coming and they themselves are like, yeah, leave university.
Wow. Have you left yet?
So I left in September.
Fantastic. That's amazing. And now you don't need a job anyway?
No, I don't.
Do you think you'll ever get a normal job?
No, I just couldn't. I don't understand how I could put 40 hours a week every single week in a month and then earn only £2,000 when I've just sold one deal, not had to do as many hours and I've made £3,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm passively making about, you know, about £2,000 as well.
And from your rent to rent.
Exactly. And I'm not putting in more than 5 to 7 hours a week in total on them. It's just like, why would I do 40 hours a week?
So the hard work, the initial sort of four, because it was only 4 months, but it felt like 4 years, didn't it? Because every week on the mastermind, we'd be facing each other, obviously. How's it going, Ricky? I'm struggling a bit. And I literally spent time, you remember when I was like listening to you on the calls, you were recording your calls, you were getting better, you're putting the hours in. What advice would you give to somebody who's maybe gone out there, stepped out in faith to do property, quit their job, join the academy, or they're just like, yeah, really going for it. But then they're like, oh man, a few weeks in, even a few months in, they're not getting the results that they hoped. What would your advice be as someone who's been there?
I think my first piece of advice would be, don't compare yourself to anybody else. I think that's one thing that I really did, which constantly brought me down. It's like, this person joined the academy same time as me, yet they're getting way more deals than me. Why is that? And another thing is, don't trick yourself into thinking you're putting the work in when you're not. Be ready to put the hours in. It might feel like silly hours at the start, but once you have those rent-to-rents systemized, let's say, you know, my service accommodation, all I have to do is send them the instructions, and that's all I do. And it's not much, and then tell my cleaners what day you have to go in. So really, I'm not putting in many hours into a service accommodation at all, but initially, you have to put the hours in, and that's the only way you'll get your property deals. because I know it's not a competition, but it's about who's the fastest to get those deals as well.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's about working smart and not hard. But at the beginning, you got to work smart and hard.
Yes.
And now you're just working smart. What are your plans for the future within property? I know that you're wanting to use your property income to go into ministry, which is you are beginning to do now, which would be great to hear about. But property terms, what's the plan?
So in terms of property, I really enjoy the serviced accommodation side. But then I thought serviced accommodation way better until I realized it's pros and cons to serviced accommodation, even with HMOs. But I think I will probably stick to serviced accommodation and just scale up the business. I really want to be able to systemize it. And then when I've got a few more rent-to-rents, then I really would love to go into BRRs and stuff, because eventually I do want to go into property development.
Yeah, nice. You're following the pattern, bro.
Yes.
That's it. You could become financially free, get rent-to-rents and do deal sourcing, don't need a job, then use the money to build your wealth. And then get gripped by a mission which you dedicate your life on. Talk to me a bit about your mission within the ministry.
Yeah, so my mission is basically that I really want to be able to serve in church full time. I mean, I first came to Christ in May 2021, and it all started with my sister who was a Christian, and she passed away in May 2021. And that really hit hard because it was like, because she was a Christian, I'd kind of distanced myself until I saw the love that the church had given to us as a family and supported us through these times. It really touched me and it made me think, look at the way these people have supported us, yet I don't know them. And the humility they had as well. Like the leader of our church, imagine they had the humility to come over that day when things happened. And I just thought there were some local church ladies, and just to find out afterwards, they've got a net worth of over 200 million. There's some rich people.
Wow.
And yet the support, the love they showed, it really touched me, and it's like, I really want to be able to support people the same way.
That's amazing, bro. And I think that, I said this when I first met you, I remember almost prophesying over you with property. I said, you're going to be extremely successful, and I could see you had a fire there. And that's as well why I was so determined. You know, Ricky, that's probably why I said, I'll come and put you in the throat, because I was just like, this guy has to win. But you know, it's absolutely incredible. With your age, being 19, starting out, did you find that was a problem? Did you find that you were getting objections about your age? Was it an advantage? Talk to me about that.
I think it was mixed. I mean, if I was coming on property courses like a crash course, so many people come up to me and say, you're only 19. I wish I was your age when I started. But then when I go into the real world and I'm trying to speak to landlords and agents, they look at me and think, he's a young man. Like, what would you know about property kind of thing?
Yeah.
If I go into an agency and I'm like, yep, I'm looking for a BRR deal, up to 150K cash, I'm happy. And they sometimes look at me like, do you even have 150K on you? And it does put you down at times, but then you gotta remember, there's somebody who's gonna be willing to give you an opportunity. One that worked in my advantage was the service accommodation that I got. First, they seemed very, I'm not sure what's the correct word to use, but they weren't really showing compassion, let's say, until they realized that I'm young, I'm their son's age, and I have a similar mentality to him. And then they were like, you know what, take this one. And in fact, we've actually got something else coming for you as well. So they're ready to give me another one very soon as well.
Wow. So you kind of just have to keep going and flip the cards, use everything to your advantage. What's it been like working, despite the punch in the throat comment, what's it been like working with me, and what's your experience been like of the academy thus far?
It's been really good. I mean, coming from an environment where I'm around university people who just want to go out clubbing, drinking, to being surrounded by millionaires and people who just want to be successful in life and have a mission, it was such a massive upgrade. I can never go back to in that environment. You'll never see me in those places either. It's like, I need to be around these people. If I want to be successful, I have to be around these people. And one line that's always stuck with me, which I think it was you who said it, and it was, your environment is greater than your willpower.
Yeah.
And that has stuck with me from the start. And it's like, I need to make sure I'm in the right environment. And I think that's a massive reason why I wanted to join the academy as well. It's like, if I get myself in that environment, there is no way that I cannot be successful.
Yeah, well, you've been extremely successful, but I know that this is the very beginning. And not only are you going to go on to make a load of money, I believe you're going to help a lot of people. So,
certainly.
Big respect, my brother. Thanks for coming
very
on the show.
Thank you.